Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of The End Zone. My name is Jose Bali. Today we're going to be talking about, you know, missed questions that we miss in later episodes, so it's a reunion. Today we have Mike, Monette, Martin, and Gabe. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
I'm doing good.
I'm pretty good.
It's doing good. So, you know, some of the questions that we missed in later episodes was, well, the biggest one was coaching staff. And in the last episode, we talked about playing favorites. What are you guys' opinion on that?
I think in high school, for sure, our coach played favorites all the time. And he said he never did, but it was like that all 4 years I've been there.
Do you know any particular coaches?
Like the Jim head Rose. Coach? Yeah, Jim Rose. Rose. Yeah. The head coach.
Okay. Can you go into detail with that, Mike?
Yeah. Like for instance, my first year, I was told I was going to actually do really good and be good. And then once he realized, there was obviously people he liked better because they were there longer. And then he completely forgot about me right away. And it was like that for the first 2 years of high school.
And you said that when you first got there that you were promised a start, or?
I was promised that I'd get a lot of playing time for sure. And then one season came around the corner, like it's like none of it was even said.
And do you feel that coaches said that only for you to, you know, basically join the team and, you know, actually practice?
I think that was a big part of it. Or I think they were just saying it because, I mean, that's what they're supposed to do to cheer you up or keep you confident.
How about you, Martin? Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree because especially with the favoritism part, it's like the players who get favorited get to get away with more stuff. Like, even if they do bad stuff in school, coaches turn a blind eye to it and they can just act like nothing happened and they can keep getting like playtime with no like precautions to anything.
When you mean that precautions, what are you exactly talking about?
Like their playtime doesn't get cut, they don't get to do any punishments at practice, stuff like that.
So you're saying, you know, maybe if they come in late, maybe if their grades aren't too par to where they need to be, coaches sometimes cut corners.
Yeah, exactly. Like they just let them get away with anything that they want.
And you feel that, you know, other players that you may not be the coach's favorite or maybe even be second string, third string, aren't as lenient as those players?
Yeah, they have like a shorter leash to like what they can do and what they can't do.
You feel like that's unfair?
Yeah.
And Gabe, what's your opinion on the subject?
I just feel like favoritism is a big role when it comes to coaches and that's the athletes. For example, if it's grades that the athletes are struggling on, coaches will go to the teachers and, you know, tell the teachers, I need this player to play, so you need to pass him. Not so much as a threat to the teachers, but it's
unspoken agreement.
Yeah.
And that what you said right there is really interesting. We talked about that in an episode before. Do you feel like that's harming the student-athlete? Because student comes before athlete, and if the coaches are going up to the teachers and basically letting them pass by, you know, maybe because they're failing a class or because they don't want to do the work, do you feel like that's affecting the student by not learning what he needs to?
It does. I mean, we have had an athlete at our old school, he did get accepted by many colleges and universities, but he couldn't go there because he knew he wasn't going to succeed. I'm not going to name names, but I'm pretty sure we know who.
On that topic, Mike, do you feel like it is harming the students by coaches, you know, basically cutting corners with students and not really focusing on their schoolwork? Because after high school, if you didn't get your education, then you're out there in the real world. The coaches aren't going to be there to, you know, give you a house or anything. It's up to you. And if you didn't get that education when you were in high school, then it falls on the player to succeed. So do you feel like it does play a big role?
I think it does, because that specific player that Gabe was just talking about, I remember he was like a star running back all of high school, and he was known for getting like looked at by colleges, you know? And I remember that our coach would always, he would never come to practice sometimes or to lifting, and our coach would just let it go by, or he wouldn't go to class and he would fix it. But as soon as season's over, he was kind of on his own, and then that's probably the reason why he didn't go to any universities.
In the way that you guys kind of described it, do you feel that coaches basically use players? Because you said after season was over, he was basically on his own. So do you feel that after season's over, the coach doesn't really have use for you, so they're not really concerned?
I would say yes, because from what I know, a high school coach does nothing but coach high school. So what he wants is a good football team to get far. He's not worried about, at least our coach, Jim Rose, wasn't worried about how far we went past high school. He just wanted to get us to a championship, get us known, get us back on the board again.
Well, for his job, because if you...
For his job, yes.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that, Martin?
Yeah, because even, like, after our final season there, he, like, as soon as the season was over, he didn't even bother talking to us anymore, or, like, even the other players on the team. They felt like the sort of bond that they had formed with the coach mm-hmm. was gone, and it wasn't there no more.
So you're saying after senior year, after your season, you know, you weren't going to play for Birmingham anymore. He didn't really have any use for you, so why even?
Yeah, so he was like, basically he was like, why should I even talk to you if you're not going to bring anything back to me?
And you talked about, you said that sometimes players thought they had a bond with the coaches. So do you feel like that's all like an illusion put on by the coach, you know? Because a lot of players say that coaches play like a big father figure into it. Do you feel that coaches make you have that illusion for you to perform well in the team, or do you think that they honestly care about you and they actually...
I think you would have to go back to like the favoritism. Like if you're one of their favorite players, of course they're going to keep talking to you, but like if you were even a starter and you weren't like a favorite to them, they wouldn't even bother talking to you again after season.
And your opinion on the subject, Gabe?
Yeah, I agree with Martin.
Yeah. And another question that, you know, sometimes we miss is life after high school ball. So two of you guys, you know, you guys went on to play college ball. Gabe, you went to go play at Valley. Mike, you went to go play at Moore Park. You know, Martin, you decided to, you know, take a different path. You decided to go and study. All three of you guys played for the same school. All you guys played your senior year. What made you guys take different paths? You know, Gabe, you went to a different school. You know, you and Mike could have gone to the same school, but you guys decided to go different paths. Mm. Martin, you decided to focus more on studying and getting a career. Can you explain why?
It's just what the coaches could offer you. If the coaches could offer you and you see that, you know, they could help you go somewhere you want to go, then, of course, you're going to take that opportunity. And I saw that opportunity with Valley.
And can you explain what Valley specifically offered you, or what did they tell you for you to basically go to that school?
Well, they were just talking to me about, because I did mention Moore Park to them, and they said, well, yeah, they could get you in a D1 scholarships, but we have the best recruitment staff recruiting for offensive linemen, because they usually get 15 linemen out a year. So I saw that as an opportunity and I went for it.
And you, Mike, you went to Moore Park. So what made your decision to go to that college and not go, you know, to Valley and play with a few of your fellow teammates from high school?
Well, the reason I went to Moore Park, I had went on a visit just to honestly be nice to the coaches and be that player that they liked. And then as soon as I got there, it just felt really nice and like homey. And they were all really nice. And I met some of the players, and they showed me how many players they had gotten out, and the majority of them were defensive players, and about like five or six of them were D linemen, which is what I play. So that grabbed my attention right away. So then I automatically was like, oh, I have to go here. And then when I had thought about going to Valley, me and one of their coaches had a disagreement for a long time. So that really pushed me more towards Moore Park, and now I'm glad I stayed there.
You said that Moore Park felt more homey. Can you explain on that?
Well, yeah, because I'm from Oxnard, which is closer to Moore Park. So I'm more used to that weather and that environment. And right away, as soon as I got there, they were all really nice. They all talked to me as if they already knew me, but they barely even knew my first name.
And what about you, Martin? You decided to stop playing football, decided to, you know, go to school. What made you not go through that path?
Coming out of high school, I had a knee injury where, like, it was a, like, nagging injury where, like, I just couldn't shake it. So I was like, you know what, I'm going to take this season off, try to focus on my studies, and then try to see if anybody still wants me to play college football. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to be going to Moore Park next semester to join the football team there with Mike. And it's just like, if last year I was like, if I can't give 100%, if I'm not even going to be satisfied, like, with how I'm going, why even bother being on a team?
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. So basically, due to, you know, injuries, you knew you wouldn't be able to perform 100%, so you decided to take a year off.
Exactly.
And, you know, you guys are basically done with your first year of college. You know, Martin, you go to Pierce, go to Valley, and Mike goes to Moore Park. Was the expectation what you guys expected it to be, or was it different? Of, you know, playing and basically Martin actually going to school.
I think it was what I expected, but I think no matter what you expect, college, the level of struggle it is to play college football is always hard. I expected it to be as hard as it is, and I still wasn't prepared for it.
And in high school, in my last episode, we talked about struggling for a starting position. So does that come into play in college too, or?
Yeah, it does a lot, because in high school, I played D-line, but I didn't have a D-line coach. So then going into college, I assumed that because I was good in high school, I'd be good, but I didn't realize all the stuff I was missing out on technique-wise and how much depth there was. There was a lot of players that played my position while in high school. It was basically just me.
And you, Gabe?
Well, yeah, it was a struggle during summertime. But when school came along, I did end up medical redshirting the season due to a back injury. So I would have to say I was more like Martin's situation, more focused on school. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to play or even put on a football helmet this year.
And Martin, Gabe talked about medical redshirting it. Did that ever cross your head while you were deciding to take a year off?
It did, but I was like, why? That just would like make me like depressed, like, because I wouldn't be part of the actual team. I would be part of it, but I wouldn't be able to go to practice, put on a helmet, play the game. So I was just like, I'd rather just take a whole year off, just focus on studying and not worry about football for this season.
And what's it like for the future of you guys? So Martin, you obviously said you wanted to play at Moore Park. What are you looking forward to going and playing there?
I just feel like if I have a little something more like to give out than what I left in high school, I feel like I could actually expand on that, and if not, just get that little bit of like gas in the tank out of it and just go all out that one season.
You guys all played for the same team, and you guys lost in the playoffs. Do you guys feel that you guys have something to prove?
I feel like we do, for sure. Because we went to Birmingham, and a lot of people think that people from Birmingham just aren't that good, or they give up really fast.
Or choke in the playoffs.
Exactly. But I don't think we're like that, us three, me, Gabe, and Martin. I don't think we're like that. I think that's the reason we're all trying to do this.
So you do feel like... What is your reasoning for playing college ball? Is it to prove a point? Is it because you want to get further, or is it a combination of all those things?
It's a combination, but I just wanted to keep going because I was accepted to schools just based off of regular applications, like grades and stuff, but I didn't go because I wanted another chance to get a scholarship and keep playing football. So I just kind of took the risk. I'm paying my way through college right now.
Yeah, do you feel that, for Martin, do you feel that you're playing college ball to prove a point, or to, you know, you want to get to a further step in playing football, like playing for a 4-year, maybe eventually even playing professional? Or do you think it's a combination of all those things and that's why you want
to
play?
I think for me it's just a little more of having to prove a point to, like, people that saying that I would never actually be on a college football team, that I would suck, that I would, like, not be good at all, that I would be, like, oh, the one kid that tried to be on the team but couldn't be on there. So I think that's my main motivation to play college ball.
And you, Gabe?
I feel like it's a combination. People have told me that I won't bounce back from back injury and go back to playing football. And I do want to prove that I can get healthier from my injury.
From what you guys have said, you know, I feel like there's a lot of negativity that comes into play because, you know, that, you know, you guys aren't the best players. You guys have injuries. Yeah, come back. Do you feel like that plays a role into you? Like, you know, getting all this negativity pressed on you, does that affect your everyday life? Or
I would have to say it impacts us in a good way. You know, haters are going to hate, and haters do bring this that encouragement for you to keep moving forward. So I just look at it as like you're helping me.
So what you're saying is that instead of looking at it as a negative, you're using it as basically fuel to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
And do you all you guys feel that way, or different mindset?
I think it just be like, yeah, like I agree with him. It's just all psychological. It helps you, like, keep that drive going, that motivation to prove all those people wrong. So it, like, you can turn that negativity into positivity.
And, you know, not everyone's exactly like that. You know, we talked about it in the last episode. I think it was with you, Mike. When someone coaches you, not every single player is the same. So some players need the coaches to be yelling at you for you to perform well. And how you guys said, you guys basically took the negative of what other people said and decided to, you know, prove them wrong. So do you guys all feel that that's the type of person or player that you are, that you take all that criticism and all that negative vibe and try to switch it around, basically?
Yeah, I would say so. I usually just take the negativity and brush it off. I've gotten used to it a lot to where it doesn't even affect me anymore.
And is there pressure, you know, on you guys to basically go to a 4-year? Well, Mike and Gabe, soon to be you too, Martin. Is there a pressure on you by your families or your friends or whatever to go to a 4-year, to go to that higher step?
Yeah, I think that. Well, I don't know how it is for Gabe and Martin, but I know for me, I think it is, because a lot of my coaches think that because of my size, like, it's a thing I have to do. I have to go D1 and I have to go to a 4-year college. And then for my family, no one really. I'm the first person in my family to even go to a college in general, and I'm also the first one to play a sport in college, so I get not a lot of pressure. But it feels like a lot of pressure. A lot of people giving me advice, telling me I should do this, telling me I should do that. It's hard sometimes, but like I said before, I usually just brush off anything that's negative towards me, and I just kind of do what I think I have to do.
I think I would have to agree with Mike about the size, because the coaches always are going to look at you for that. Your size is, you have to go to a D1 school.
And, you know, Gabe, do you feel pressure on your family or, you know, other people that see that you're going to college, you're playing ball in college? Do you feel pressure that you have to go to D1, you have to, you know, for them, not just for you, but for them?
I've always had that pressure once I put on a football helmet in the ninth grade. Always had that pressure from my family and from the coaches that I have to at least go to a university. And that was something I try to stay with. But you just got to realize that you got to do it for yourself, not just for other people.
How about you, Martin? You're soon to be in that same situation.
I never really had to deal with any pressure because coming in with my size, nobody really expects anything from me. So it's like extra motivation. I can be like, oh, if they don't expect anything from you, make them expect something from you. You know what I mean?
And all you guys talked about, you know, using that motivation. Do you guys feel that you guys learned that from football? Because all you guys basically had the same answers. Is it that you guys were brought up like that, or you basically learned it in football to use that negativity as fuel to, you know, perform well?
I think we all just experienced it at the exact same moment. You know, freshman year of high school, we all came in, didn't play as much. Sophomore year, I think we all three of us started. We all kind of just went through the same thing throughout high school.
Do you guys feel like you guys had the same experience?
Well, I feel like growing up, I had to learn how to deal with the negativity to, like, make it into positivity so I wouldn't be, like, depressed. So I would, because I had to grow up without a dad, so I had to be, like, guy of the house, so it's like
the male figure of the house.
Yeah, so I couldn't really show any like signs that negativity affected me, so I think I just learned that from that.
I feel like when people push the negativity to you, you feel like you're in that mind state that it does eat you up, you get me? But then when as you get older and wiser, you realize that the negativity is kind of helping you because you're seeing all this doubt. And the doubt is kind of encouraging you to do better. Not just for other people, but for yourself too.
And do you feel that's more important? Well, obviously it's more important, but do you guys feel for yourselves that it's more important to prove a point to, you know, you that you can go to college, you can go to a four-year, you can do better than just play high school ball?
I would say yes. I think once you get past that part of you just proving a point, you eventually just start doing it for yourself.
And just the final question. What made all you guys, you know, join football? Like that one moment that made you guys join football?
Well, for me, I was just put into football because I didn't have so much confidence growing up, because I didn't have a dad, and my mom never really took care of me. It was more so my aunts and my grandma. So I remember one day my aunt said she saw me walking by myself at school, and she saw I had low confidence, so she convinced me to start football, and then I kind of liked it from then on.
For me, it was a 8th grade, like, I saw a game, like, live, so I was just like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I love, so I'm just going to keep playing.
I just wanted to be like my dad growing up, trying to see what skills I had, because he did play football as well in high school. So I just wanted to try it out.
All different reasons, but all great reasons. Thank you guys for coming and answering all the questions. You guys have been great. This has been KBCRadio.com.